Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18, and going through chapter 16, verse 4, I think. 4 or 5. I'll decide when I get there. This starts on page 1677 of your Pew Bibles. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, or Holy Spirit, I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you. For us, this season, we've come to the end of our evening, Jesus and the disciples. Jesus goes a little bit further, but for us, this is the end. As we have sat with these men, and Jesus is giving them what he believes is most important at the very end. And it's followed this trajectory that even I didn't quite see until I started putting it all together. That he started at this complex and heady and in the clouds thing, and he whittled away until last week he was at that very simple command to love each other. And then this week, there isn't even a command. This week is probably the hardest thing that he says. And remember how we framed each one of these lessons. I love you and. And so with last week's, I love you, so love each other. This week's is, I love you and you love me, so the world will hate you for it. The world will hate you for loving me. The world will hate you for loving each other. He's finally come to the crux of the problem in the world. Because he knows that the world hates him. He knows what is going to happen. His death is looming in the distance. Within 24 hours, the Pharisees will take him in the garden and throw him at the feet of the Romans and ask that he be executed for things he did not do. Within 24 hours, he will be tried in what is essentially a kangaroo court and be condemned. Within 24 hours, executioners will nail him to what may be the most barbaric and cruel and degrading form of death we have devised. Within 24 hours, those executioners will declare him dead by jabbing a spear in his side. And why are they doing this? Why do they do this? It's not because Jesus hugged people. It's not because Jesus fed people. Meek and mild people that don't stand up for something don't get executed. The world doesn't hate you for hugging a sad person. The world doesn't hate you for building a soup kitchen. There may be some not in my backyard responses. They may want you to be in the corner, but they don't hate you. They don't seek to destroy you because you do these things. But Jesus threatened the powers of the world. Jesus threatened those who could lord their power over the weak and the vulnerable. Jesus threatened those who had built themselves up. I can't help but think of Jesus healing the man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were a little indignant about the Sabbath healing. They thought they found a way to make him look bad, but what really made them most angry is that Christ in their temple made them look foolish. He weakened them. He threatened the power that they had built up, and that is why they hated him. You don't execute somebody performing miracles, you execute them because those miracles make you look weak. And that's what the world hated. That's what the world destroyed or tried to. And in this last night, when Jesus knows what's going to happen, when Jesus knows the end result, when Jesus has these 11 men left and he is telling them, love as I have loved you and love each other, he tells them what the result is going to be. The world will do its best to destroy you. And if we take the words of the ancient theologians, we know what happens to these 11 men. 10 of them are executed because they threatened the powers of the world. One of them goes through hell on earth before he is old and allowed to die in peace. That is the end result of these disciples' lives because they chose to answer the command that Jesus gave to them. But. But they were willing to do it anyway. Not only willing, but strong enough to take that, to love so radically that it's not just helping, but it's also putting risk to the powers of the world. They loved so much that the world hated them. And we are called to follow that same command. Jesus did not call his disciples to be meek and mild. He did not just call them to feed the hungry. Yes, that is to be done too. do not take this the wrong way. I'm not saying that we should not be showing love in those real practical ways as well, but the love needs to go beyond that. The love needs to go to a point where you stand up for those who are vulnerable in opposition of those who take advantage of their vulnerability. You need to stand up for the weak in opposition to the strong that take advantage of their weakness. You need to stand up for the beaten, the poor, in opposition of those who beat them and make them poor. We are called to fight a battle. And I want to put this a little bit in perspective. I've heard a lot of people say this thing, and it rips me to my core. I don't know if most of you have figured out who my personal hero is, but there are these people that say the Romans wouldn't have executed Mr. Rogers. That's what they say. But Fred Rogers fought a fight too. Fred Rogers stood up in front of our Congress and fought to improve, fought to keep the goodness there. And we are at a point where even the legacy of his fight is at risk. Jesus is calling us to love radically and completely in a way that takes power away from the world, in a way that lifts up the vulnerable, the weak, the poor. In a way that challenges greed. In a way that puts us at risk. We are called to stand up. Stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. Stand up to people who would beat them down. And not for our own gain. In fact, we should be putting ourselves at risk. If you love to the degree that Christ loved us, to be willing to take that cross, then the world should hate you too. Love radically enough that the powerful and the rich see you as a risk. Because that's what Christ did. In Christ's teaching, through my words, I love you and you love me. And the world will hate you for it. Love enough to where that is true. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.